الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا عسى الله أن يتوب عليهم إن الله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had surrounded the fort of the Banu Qurayza and laid siege to them, initially they began firing arrows, throwing stones, and in a similar manner the Sahaba radiallahu anhum also responded, firing arrows at them and throwing stones at them. When the Banu Qurayza realized that they are not going to be successful in fighting and engaging in combat with the Muslims, they requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they could negotiate with him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. They sent a person by the name of Nabbash bin Qais, and he came to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they be treated as the Banu Nadir were treated. The incident we had discussed right at the beginning of the Banu Nadir. So the way in which they were treated, where they were allowed to leave Madinah Munawwara, their lives were spared, and whatever they could load on their camels, they could take that amount of belongings besides any weaponry. All weaponry will have to be left behind, and they could load whatever they wanted to load, whatever they could manage to load on their camels, and they could leave Madinah Munawwara, and they went and settled in Khaybar and Sham and Syria. So this was the request that he made. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused. The next request he made, that at least their lives should be spared. They will not take anything, but their lives should be spared. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused. Obviously, their crime was very serious, and they needed to be dealt with accordingly. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to them that you will have to surrender on whatever is my decision, whatever is the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he goes back to his people, and after some time, when this failed and the siege became difficult for them, then their leader Ka'ab bin Asad al-Quradhi, one day he addresses them and he says to them that I have three options to present to you. You need to accept one of these three options. The first option is that we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we believe in him, and in this way our lives would be spared, our women and children would be safe, our wealth would be safe, and after all, you are fully aware that he is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has become evidently clear that he is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find his description in your book in the Torah, and it is only jealousy for the Arabs that has prevented you from believing in him and following him. In fact, I did not want to break my agreement with him in the beginning. We had already discussed also that he kept the door of the fort shut when Huyay bin Akhtab came to instigate him and to win him over onto their side. He would refuse, blankly refuse. So he says, I initially did not want to break my agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is because of this unfortunate person, pointing to Huyay bin Akhtab, because of this unfortunate person, I ended up breaking my agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huyay bin Akhtab did not belong to the Banu Qurayza. He was from the Banu Nadir that were already banished from Madinah Munawwara. But when he was canvassing their support, and when he was getting them ready and making their mind up to join them, then he mentioned to them that if the Quraysh and the Ghatafan leave and they desert you, then I will stick with you. I will stand with you right till the end. I will enter your fort, and whatever is your fate will be my fate. So in keeping with this promise of his, after the coalition forces had left Medina Munawwara, he entered into the fort of the Banu Qurayza, because this was the agreement and this was the promise that he had made to them. So this was the first option that Ka'ab bin Asad Quradhi, the leader of the Banu Qurayza, gives his people that believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow him. So they respond and they say that we will never leave our religion and we will never leave the Torah for anything. Obviously, the Torah encouraged them and instructed them to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but their own distorted version and misunderstanding of the Torah was that we have to stick with the Torah and we will not leave the Torah for anything. Then he gives them the second option. If you're not prepared to accept this, then the second option is that we kill all our wives and our children. All our women we will kill. And then we will go out and very bravely we will fight without any concern and any worry. Because if we have our wives and children, then that concern is always going to be lingering in our minds, that we have our wives and children, and we will not be able to be fighting very bravely. We will not be prepared to give our lives. So once we kill our wives and children, then we will not have any worry whatsoever, no concern. And then we will fight very bravely. And if we have to win this battle, then we can always find more wives, and we will be able to make more children. So this is the second option. Their response was, أَنَقْتُلُ هَٰؤُلَاءِ الْمَسَاكِينَ فَمَا خَيْرُ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَهُمْ Must we kill these poor women and children, these weak women and children? What's the point, what's the joy in living without our wives and children? So they refused the second option and second proposal that he made. The third option that he gave them was that today is Saturday. It's the eve of Saturday, and the Muslims are aware that we will not fight on Saturday. So they must have, most probably they must have dropped their guard. They will not be so alert and they won't be so concerned today because they know we will not attack them on a Saturday. So we take advantage of this, that they have dropped their guard and we attack them while they are unaware. They are not expecting any attack from our side, so we attack them in this condition. So they respond and they say that this is our big day, the day of Saturday. We cannot spoil our Saturday. You are aware that those from our people in the past that violated the sanctity of the Saturday, what had happened to them, those that fished on a Saturday, or they would trap those fish on Saturday and pull them out on the day after. They were transformed into apes and swines. So they say, how can we violate Saturday? So they didn't accept any of these options. He was disappointed with them. After some time, when the siege became even more difficult, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instilled fear into their hearts, and this fear was instilled by the malaika. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam right at the beginning and mentioned to him that inna Allah ya'murukum bil masiri ila bani Qurayza, Allah instructs you and commands you to travel and to proceed to the Banu Qurayza. Then he mentioned to him at that time that I am going there now for muzalzilun bihim. I'm going to shake them. The shaking here does not refer to physical shaking. There was no earthquake that happened. But what was mentioned was I'm going to shake their hearts and I'm going to instill fear into their hearts. So they were struck with fear and with awe of the Muslims. So now when the siege became difficult, it became long. All in all, the siege lasted for 25 days. So they requested and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he could send over to them a sahabi by the name of Abu Lubaba Rifa'a ibn Abdul Munzir radiallahu an. He was an old ally of theirs. There was old relationships that they had. So they asked if he could be sent over so that they could consult with him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed, and Abu Lubaba radiallahu an goes over to the fort of the Banu Qurayza. As soon as he reaches there, then the men and the women and children all came to him. They rushed to him. The women and children begin to cry in front of him, showing their desperation and trying to win over his sympathy. So when he saw them in this pitiable condition, they were so desperate, they were crying, women and children were in this condition, he took pity on them and he felt sorry for them. Then they asked him that, what is your opinion regarding what we should do? You are aware that we don't have the power, we don't have the might to fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So should we surrender to him? So he says, yes, you should surrender. And then he takes his hand and he places it on his neck and he just does this, indicating that you are going to be killed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now obviously, this was divulging the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he gave the enemy the secret that what is going to be happening to them. He understood from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response thus far, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not being prepared to accept their recommendations and their conditions or their requests. He understood from there that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to kill them. So he just makes this indication. The indication that you are going to be slaughtered, you're going to be killed. As soon as he does that, before his feet even move from the place, he himself says, before my feet move from that place, I realize that this is dishonesty. And this is divulging the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I regretted doing this. Just this one indication. I regretted doing this. And he says that I recited, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And I began to cry so profusely that my beard became moistened with my tears. At this point, we should understand that this is the difference between us and Sahaba radiallahu anhu. One of the differences, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, occasionally they may have erred. They may have made a mistake. They may have committed a sin occasionally. But the very big difference between us and them is we will continue without even realizing, without making tawbah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum immediately realized their mistake. And as soon as they realized their mistake, they made such tawbah that made them even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sahabi, he makes this tawbah, or he begins to cry. Another point to understand here is that no one was aware that he had done this. Besides the Banu Qurayza, no Muslims were aware of what was done. So he could have concealed this wrong of his, but he did not conceal this wrong of his. Rather, he was so sincere in his tawbah that he says to himself, Wallahi la anzuru fi wajhi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hatta uhditha lillahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah's qasam, I will not look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until I make a sincere tawbah. Until I make a sincere tawbah, I will not look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. How can I look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the mubarak and blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I have divulged his secret in this manner? So what he does is, he immediately goes on another road behind the fort, and he goes away to the Masjid al-Nabawi, to the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he ties himself to one of the pillars of the masjid with a very heavy chain. He takes a heavy chain, he ties himself to the pillars of the masjid. And he says, La abrahu min makani hatta amuta aw yatub Allahu alayya. I will not leave this place until I die in this condition, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces my tawbah. Allah will announce my tawbah, or I will die in this condition. I'm not going to leave this place. Again, the point is, no one was aware of his wrong. But he was so sincere that I have committed this wrong and I cannot allow this to continue. I have to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes a qasam, he makes a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ata'a arda bani Qurayza abadan wa la urafi baladin khuntullaha wa rasulahu fihi abada. That I will not walk on the land of Banu Qurayza, and no one will ever see me at such a place, in which I was dishonest to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning the place where I have committed a crime, the place where I made a guna and a sin, I will not go back to that place. This is a very important point. One is the sincerity in tawbah, and then those avenues that lead us to falling into a wrong. We know when we go to a certain area, to a certain place, we slip, we fall. Or there are certain things, certain devices that make us fall into sin. Then the sincerity of tawbah is that we don't go close to those places or to those things that will get us involved in sin and will make us and cause us to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu are waiting for him to return. They know he's gone to the fort, they're waiting for him to return. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, أَمَا فَرَغَ أَبُو لُبَابَ مِنْ خُلَفَائِهِ. Has not Abu Lubaba finished off his discussions with his allies? He hasn't returned as yet. Sahaba said that we saw him leaving the fort. Oh, we know that he left the fort. But now we don't know where he's gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it seems like something has happened. After a little while, a person came and he says that I saw Abu Lubaba tied to the masjid, to the pillar of the masjid, and he has taken this promise that he's not going to leave there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it seems like he has fallen into some wrong. وَلَوْ جَاءَنِي لَاسْتَغْفَرْتُ لَهُ. If he came directly to me, then I would have made istighfar and I would ask Allah to have forgiven him. But because he did not come directly to me, the Quran Sharif speaks about it. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ. Yes, if they have to wrong themselves and then they come to you, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, واستغفر الله واستغفر لهم الرسول, and they themselves have to beg Allah's forgiveness, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to beg Allah's forgiveness on their behalf, لوجد الله تواب الرحيم, then they will find Allah to be very forgiving and very merciful. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if he had to come to me directly, I would have begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. But now since he has done this, he has taken the step where he has tied himself to the pillar of the masjid and he says until Allah announces his forgiveness, so we will have to wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Now leave him until his tawbah comes down. Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu remained in that condition for approximately 20 days. Certain reports say 6 days, however, others say that the more correct version is approximately 20 days. He remained tied to that pillar in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hardly ate any food or drank anything. His wife and daughter, both of them would take turns to come and open him at the time of salah. At the time of as-salah, he would be open, and when he needed to answer the call of nature, then he would be open. And then as soon as that was over, he would come back to this pillar and he would be fastened to this pillar and he remained in this condition. He says that it was severe heat and it was difficult for me because I was not eating, I was not drinking, I was standing in that condition, tied to that pillar, until he says that it even affected my hearing and my sight. And he says, during those days, I remembered a dream that I had. Whilst we were laying siege to the Banu Qurayza, he says, I saw a dream. And in the dream, I see that I am in dirty mud, smelling mud. And I'm in that condition. And after some time, I come out from that smelling mud. And I go into a nice flowing river. And I jump in this river and I clean myself. So, I go to Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was experienced in the interpretation of dreams. So I go to him and I say to him that this is a dream that I saw. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that you will end up in some difficult situation. But after some time you will come out from that situation. So he says, this gave me solace that I am in this difficult situation, but inshallah soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make ease for me and I will come out from this situation of mine. After a period of approximately 20 days, one night or one morning at the time of Sihri, at the time of Tahajjud, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the residence, in the house of his blessed wife, Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. When she sees him smiling, so she says, Adhakallahu sinnak. O Nabi of Allah, may Allah always keep you smiling. What's the reason for you smiling? What's the reason for you smiling at this time? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the tawbah of Abu Lubaba has come down. The tawbah of Abu Lubaba has come down. Allah has revealed an ayat of Quran. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. There are others who confess their wrongs. There are others who confess their wrongs. And this is an important point, that we will slip, we will make mistakes, but we need to come out clear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I am confessing my wrongs in front of you. We don't confess in front of people. We confess in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if we have wronged someone, we have usurped the right of someone, then we go and we acknowledge that we have done wrong, and we will take steps to remedy the situation and correct the situation. But otherwise, we confess in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. Allah says that these people have done good actions, but they have also done some wrong actions. They have mixed up bad actions with good actions. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah will definitely forgive them. So, this was the tawbah of Abu Lubaba that came down directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I go and give him this glad tidings? Such a great glad tidings. He's waiting for his tawbah to come. And now his tawbah has come endorsed, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is no ordinary tawbah. Allah accepted his tawbah. So she goes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives her permission. She goes to the door of her home. And here again the narration mentions, قَبْلَ أَن يُضْرَبَ عَلَيْهِنَّ الْحِجَابِ. This was before the laws of parda came down. As we explained earlier, that many of the incidents that happened before the laws of parda. Now we can't take that as a permission to say, now it's no problem for a woman to be speaking to a strange man, etc. These were before the laws of parda came down, before the laws of hijab came down. So she goes to the door of her home, and then she calls out to Abu Lubaba, and she says to him, radiallahu an, abshir ya Aba Lubaba, O Abu Lubaba, glad tidings to you, faqad taba Allahu alayk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your tawbah. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum hear this, they all rush to him. They all rush to him to open him. They were so happy that his tawbah has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted to release him. Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu says, La wallah, hatta yakuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam huwa alladhi yutliquni biyadihi. I don't want anyone else's hand to open me. The hand, the Mubarak hands and blessed hands of the Nabi of Allah will release me from this condition. I will wait until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself comes, and with his Mubarak hands he opens me from this condition of mine. At the time of Fajr, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his residence, going for Fajr Salah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam released Abu Lubaba radiallahu an from this condition. And up till today, in the Riyadul Jannah, in the Masjid Nabawi, ala sahibiha alfu salatin wa tahiyya, there is a pillar. On top of the pillar, it's inscribed, Ustuwanatu Abi Lubaba, the pillar of Abu Lubaba, and also Ustuwanatu Toba, the pillar of Toba. So, although the Sahabi slipped, but he made such sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that up till today he is remembered. If he did not come out open and acknowledge his wrong, then no one would have even known that he made that mistake. But he realized that when I have slipped, when I have done something like this, then I have to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gave him such honor. Such honor Allah gave him. If he did not make this mistake, we wouldn't have even known, most of us wouldn't have even known of a sahabi like this. Allah allowed it to happen, that he made that mistake, but it is a lasting lesson for humanity, that you will make mistakes also, but come out clean to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him that honor, gave him that respect, that today people rush, and they try to go to that pillar and make tawbah at that pillar. That just as Allah accepted the tawbah of Abu Lubaba, Allah will accept our tawbah as well. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.